I'd like for us to start with the message this morning, reading from Matthew chapter 14. And this particular version, I think, is the New King James in any case, starting with verse 22. It says, and immediately, say immediately.
Immediately.
Sometimes the Lord does things suddenly. And sometimes, just like he did here, his command comes to us in a context of other things that might distract us. It says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. I want to make a comment about that. We see in the lifestyle of Jesus, and it's mentioned so many times in the Gospels, of him going into the mountain to pray. And in looking at that aspect of his life and ministry and the regularity of him going to that place, on one occasion, he took three of his disciples with him. You may remember the Transfiguration, where in the mountain, which was apparently Jesus' secret place that nobody but he went to, he would go there to meet with God. And it's quite possible that that meeting, that is where the disciples saw it, and so they brought back a report, but Jesus went up there and he was speaking, if you remember, with Moses and Elijah about his mission on earth. And I think that it's quite possible that those oftentimes that he went to pray, it was for him to revisit and renew and clarify his mission and his ministry in the context of all the things that were happening in the earth. Because it was a time of tremendous political upheaval, danger, tremendous economic and social difficulty, and his people, the Jews, his city, his region, was being assaulted from every side. So identity is very important. And we find that in God alone, in our Father. And oftentimes, it's in the renewal in the place of prayer and encounter where he reminds us, it's like the Lion King, another book of the Bible, where he says that, you know, the word is remember who you are, the Father says to the Son. Anyway, it says that he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was alone there. So he spent a long time from day way into the night, and the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I mean, verse 24 is a major understatement. We're not talking about, you know, just kind of rocking and making us seasick. I'll never forget when we talked to some of the modern day fishermen who work around the Sea of Galilee. They will tell you that when these storms, because of the topography, when these storms come on that sea, and it's important because we have an occasion like this in a couple of places in the Gospels, that they say that it is so dark, the elements are so mixed together, and it is so dark that you literally can't tell if you're upside down or right side up. It's in the middle of the day. It's utter darkness. Now, this storm comes up and it moves into the night additionally. So they are in peril. And remember, Jesus sent them into this storm. And he sent them without him, quote unquote. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, this would have been somewhere between well after midnight, maybe around 3 o'clock in the morning, which is also another interesting time that we find often that's the hour of his appearing, his intervention in certain scenarios. And that's one of the reasons why we feel such a connection to watching and praying, and the idea of watching and praying, of being awake, waiting on the Lord, watching for him in prayer. And oftentimes it seems darkest just before the dawn, and that is the hour in which he comes to those who are waiting, watching, and longing for his presence and his appearing. So In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, he was walking on the top of the water. He was a mortal man, impossible by the laws of nature and gravity. And this is the thing about our God. He lives with us in this material realm, but he lives with us in this realm outside of the bounds of the natural laws. And that's what a miracle is. A miracle is when God, because he's made everything, decides to put something new into his natural law. And suddenly, instead of like the doctors say to Mary Shaheen, you have to have surgery for this breast cancer, she gets zapped by the Holy Ghost. She lays on the floor in the Benyane Hauma in Jerusalem all night long with hot water running out of her body. And when she gets up and goes to her doctor in preparation for the surgery, he says, hold on, what doctor have you been to? You don't have cancer anymore. So Jesus is with us. Say with us. In us, very present, very real. So it says.
And I just want to say.
You're welcome to
that
say.
Jesus Christ, it says in Scripture, he's the same yesterday,
right,
today, and forever. And in the midst of this season, all across the world, all across the United States, all across the United Kingdom, we had a visit from the president from Brazil, the prime minister, Bolsonaro. We had last week the leader of Mexico came. Wonderful friendship with all of these people. But wherever, it's, you may be saying a prayer in Mexico or in the United Kingdom. You may be in France. Wherever you are, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we want to declare that and carry that confession with us, that he is as involved with us, and that right in the middle of the storm he came walking on the water. He is still with us right now, whether they are talking about the rumors of the COVID virus or there are people in the hospital with intensive care or people getting tested. We would say, in the middle of this, we declare Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a healer, he's a deliverer. And I want to declare that in the middle of this.
Yes, amen. And I appreciate you making that comment, Pastor, because even if you go and look at this chapter where this event occurs in the middle of this chapter, the chapter opens with the beheading of John, who was also Jesus' cousin. So his family would have been in a time of tremendous trauma and heartbreak and under tremendous threat. And it in that that's why Jesus was trying to get alone. He was trying to go and speak with the Father, commune with the Father in this very personal trauma that had occurred. And of course, the crowd wouldn't let him because he was, as Pastor is saying, he was there as the healer. He was there. And it's beautiful because that is also the way this chapter ends, where the last line of it is that everyone who touched the hem of his garment was instantly healed. So let us allow this story to speak to us in the context of our lives today and the events in our lives personally or for our city, for our families, and for our nation, our nations. That Jesus is right in the middle of this, doing his thing, and we can hear his voice and respond to him and see his marvelous work. So it says, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. So imagine that. I mean, they're in this storm where you can't tell what's up, what's down, what's right, what's left. And then through this chaos comes this figure of this person with the wind howling around them and all of that kind of stuff. And they do not immediately recognize that this is Jesus coming to them in the middle of the storm. And we can be that way sometimes. It's the storm that we see, the storm that we're experiencing. And we may forget that, hello, he's there. And in fact, when he commands us, our life journey is this way. All of us who have been born again, we have been set in the boat and called to go to the other side. We've been called in the world, but not the world in us. So we are on a journey, and we're on a journey together, and we're on a journey individually with him. But we don't always anticipate when the storm is raging or when a trauma happens in our life, that this also is a part of the commanded journey. And we're going through, and never forget this. This mortal life is but a blink of an eye for who you are and who you're called to be, who you will be for eternity. So this mortal life is just our opportunity to get to know him, to come into the eternal family of God, and then begin to journey with him. And it's a fallacy, it's a mistake for us to make this life the end and the means of our faith. But our faith informs this life so that we might live victoriously because of our relationship with him. Anyway, they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. So I think that's the first word for us out loud is be of good cheer. So say to your neighbor, be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Michael, be of good cheer. Thank you. You made me of good cheer this morning with leading us in worship. Be of good cheer. It's me. And immediately, I'm sure you don't do this. You don't say, but Jesus, look at all the wind and the wave. It's dark. I'm about to be tossed out. And he apparently expects them, without the storm changing at all, expects the storm within to suddenly just be cleared out and them to be fine. But they're not. and Peter, and it's interesting, the tax collector, the number cruncher guy, is the only one who actually sticks Peter in here. The other guys, it's all, you know, they were experiencing what was happening to all of them in the boat. And I don't know. I have to talk to Peter and John when I get there to see if there really was this, you know, perpetual just sort of, you know, I know it talks about James and those guys doing, but I don't know. I have a little suspicion that there was something going on with John and Peter as well. But anyway, Matthew is the only one that puts this very important moment that speaks to us in this story. And it is the story of Peter when he hears the voice of the Lord, and they're not sure that this figure that is, I don't think they'd ever seen him walk on water yet. So they're continually surprised. And this is the story of the disciples, continually surprised by his miracles, never expecting. They just, the whole feeding of the 5,000 that is just going on, you know, they're just never expecting him to do his thing outside of the natural law. But he's always doing it in the natural moment, doing outside of the natural law, his miracles, yeah, and all of that.
He has just fed 5,000 plus. It says 5,000 men and women and children in addition. So we have multiple thousands fed by and through as a means from one lunch. It's amazing. Your mind is blown. And the disciples, I mean, it's up chapter after chapter. There's no one like Jesus. We can depend on him now and forever throughout eternity. He is who he is, and there is no one like him. How about that? He just had fed, out of blessing, one lunch, had fed thousands of people and 12 baskets of leftovers. And wow. We can only say wow. But I want to point out, again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that one of the historic miracles of revival happened here on this property some years ago. Some of you may have were here, others came later, but this was during the time when we were, this church was in the tent, and it was a conference. By the way, I want to remind you and those watching us on the internet, we are going to be able to loosen up a little of the regulations. I want to say again, we regret our ministry. Part of the ministry is just to speak healing or laying on of hands also. But we have a measure of restrictions right now on laying hands on everybody. I would love to, but we have these restrictions in the context of of the COVID virus. So we want to respect those, but want to tell you that right in this very place, some years ago, instead of this building, we had the Lord had given us a beautiful tent, and I'm grateful for this building, but God was with us even in that tent. And when Bonnie was preaching during this conference, a tremendous storm came up. I've seldom ever experienced being in that kind of storm, and the whole foundations were being shaken. The big metal poles were embedded in concrete, so to give us stability over what we had the tent for almost 2 years, I think, or more.
I think it was a lot longer. I don't know. I think it was more like 7. I mean, it was a long time. We were really ignorant. We broke every, you know, all the fire department, like, restrictions. We had live, real Christmas trees, right, in a tent. And our heating system was basically a big flamethrower. I don't know how we missed that, but we didn't realize. But the storm was literally threatening our lives. And I confess, I was oblivious. I just thought, this is so awesome. Rain and wind and lightning and come on, God, you know, kind of. Well, the people were terrified. I mean, they were putting their feet up in their chairs. The water was running through the tent like the River Jordan. And anyway,
So I stood up and talk about, I mean, it's that kind of glory moment that is hard to put into words. Because you are in the moment. Poles were being lifted, and as they would fly through the air, potentially they could have killed several people, and a lot would have been injured. And basically, the Lord had given me one word. You can look at that book, Storm Warrior, and it's in the context of that story, living story that many experienced, and people still remind me. Do you remember the storm? They were here, many in, from Texas, many from different parts of the here. And I said, asked Bonnie to stop.
I'm not even sure you asked me to stop. I think you just finally came to the stage because you realized what was happening.
Well,
but you had a word. You had the word. There was a word for that event.
One word. In Jesus' name. The one word was shalom, which means peace. And instantly, over almost 100 square miles, the storm had, it instantly stopped across the whole
Historically,
region.
Historically, the report of that storm, it was in 70 years. It was the worst one in 70 years. And there were actually 5 tornadoes that were occurring at that moment in the surrounding areas of where this tent was, where we were meeting. But that's where you've heard us say one word from the glory, right? That event is where that reality for us came from, because when Mahesh had been praying, Lord, what is the word, the prophetic word, the living word in this moment to the conference? the Lord said to him, Shalom, and Mahesh didn't get it until he was sitting in the conference in that moment, and suddenly he went, Shalom. Oh, Shalom. So he stood up peace. And said, Shalom.
Which meant peace, be still.
And that's pretty cool. There, I don't know if the video is still circulating on YouTube, but you can see this whole event. Mahesh says, Shalom. And on the video, you can hear the rain begins to stop and the storm, you know, dissipates. So one word from the glory is where that the center of our shalom and in any storm.
We extol and thank the Lord for his presence.
Yeah.
And it's presence and his name that make all the difference.
Yeah.
And may today,
yeah,
wherever you are listening, we release the one word from the glory.
Yeah.
We release blessing, healing,
yeah,
complete,
yeah,
restoration, prosperity, whatever that word. But it's full of the glory, the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Bless you and refresh you.
Thank you, Jesus.
But it's active right now. So we want to release that word and say to the nations, to America, to every individual who's concerned about themselves, about their children, in Jesus' name, receive shalom.
And in this story here, we see again in verse 27, it uses the word immediately again. And it's showing that God is quick to act. He's quick to answer, even though the circumstances may seem to obscure him, that he's responsive to us and to our prayers. So Peter said, Lord, if it's you, and I believe, Pastor and I have talked about this story, and we feel like prophetically a lot of you, a lot of believers, are at this place in this particular era, circumstance, in the events of our lives, unusual global era. And the Lord, to believers, is present in the storm. He may be difficult to discern until you hear his voice. And then it's a matter of really honestly being able to discern, is this the voice of the Lord or is this my own desire? Is it a ghost, you know, or is this the real Jesus that is speaking to me? And the word and the spirit will always line up together. So it's important that we be able to discern the voice of the Lord. And so Peter, talk about a fleece. Peter puts out the impossible fleece. Peter says, okay, if this is you, Lord, speaking and standing here, coming toward me in the storm, then command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Come. Say, come. So we feel like this is a word of affirmation and encouragement. And our prayer today that the living word will land with each one in every heart, in the dynamic of how God is leading you and dealing in your life. First, come to him. Secondly, come to the believers, to the body of believers. I should say, secondly, come to the word, actually. Come to the word. And thirdly, come to fellowship. Stay in communion with believers. Make sure that the overarching word coming to you that you're hearing is not necessarily from the crowd. Amen. Or from, you know, we always use the word the media or the whatever. It's from him, his voice, his word, from his person, his presence, from the spirit, and then from the fellowship of believers that God has given us. Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, And by the way, it wasn't these little shallow ones. If you've been on the Sea of Galilee, they're these incredibly deep things. So Peter had to climb up over and drop himself into the storm. I mean, that was no little feat. But he's in this moment where he's heard the word of the Lord and he's seen Jesus there. And so he's climbing out of the boat and he's really in faith. He's on this word. The word is coming. He's coming. And he takes a few steps and then suddenly he is once again so aware of the storm. And it says when he'd come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. He was doing it. Wow. He walked on the water headed to Jesus, but then he got distracted by the wind and the rain. He saw the wind and the boisterous waves, and he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. In the Psalms, the word is Hosanna. And we use it as a praise word. But it literally means, save us now, Lord. Say Hosanna.
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 Save now, Lord. And this is our prayer. This is our cry for the world, for you, for your family, for our families, for the church in this hour. In the midst of these storms, the pandemic and the cultural revolution, the political upheaval that is going on, the rampant violence and wickedness that is so, I don't even know that it's on the rise. It's just that with global media, we know all of this stuff. I mean, if God was ready to drown the entire creation just a few generations after Adam, you know, in Noah, obviously, these are events in the Bible says the end of the days will be again. Remember what happened then. I mean, the violence was so bad.
And so it wouldn't help to have a life jacket.
Well, I guess if God...
Well, whether you have a life jacket or not,
it better
be the Lord's presence. But it says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, I want to just... might be fun to... take note of this. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal. So even though the disciples were fearful for that instant, the Lord's eyes were on them. And I want to tell you, the Lord's eyes are on you today. He has not changed. And whatever seasons of anxiety or fear you go through, it doesn't matter, because the Lord's eyes are on you to show himself strong,
thank you, Jesus,
on your behalf.
Yes, Lord.
And give you miracles.
Thank you.
Whatever form that is that's needed, God is strong on your behalf. He's watching you to give you miracles and breakthroughs. And it's important that we exercise faith in this and say, yes, that word is for me. That word is for my son. That word is for my daughter. And devil, take your hands off.
Amen.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name. And I'm going to extol the Lord. And so he has given us this word or words, different promises. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a word. You can count on your word. That's a promise. And let's activate our faith to believe and release. And you might want to voice it out loud, not just silently understand. There are certain times I feel impelled to speak it out. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro across the earth, and his eyes on me. And he is going to show himself strong on my behalf.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack for anything in this hour.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And so we come in verse 31 to the third immediately. Say immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately. And this, we feel like this is part of the emphasis of the encouragement today. Now, Lord, look on these threats. Acts 4, Pastor quoted it. Look on these threats and grant us boldness to speak your word and stretch forth your hand to heal that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy servant Jesus. And as Jesus is calling Peter out of the boat, he is calling each of us out of that other sense. And I would just say, my observation is that the COVID scenario has presented a very unique opportunity and challenge for believers. Because I'm hearing from everyone more than any other season in their life, in this moment, there are these opportunities every day to share the good news of Jesus, to share some little testimony, to share some word of mercy or love or outreach or prayer for healing or deliverance or personal testimony more than ever before. And people are desperately afraid and desperately hungry for social connection. So in that way, God is calling each of us out of our little boat into this storm to speak, to respond to the presence of the Lord and to hear his voice and to obey in good faith. And when you begin to sink, once you've stepped out, we shout, Hosanna. It says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, why was your faith so small? Why did you doubt? You could do this. I'm calling you to this. I've anointed you for this. Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. So your testimony, your obedience, your response to the Lord will have an impact, and it will encourage the saints, will strengthen the church, not just the church gathering physically, but the believers in your circle of influence. You're stepping out in faith in response to the call of the Lord in this hour will encourage and strengthen the church, the saints. And they came and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And today, we acknowledge there is one Lord. There is one God. There is one truth. There is one way. And his name is Jesus Christ. And we have chosen to get in his boat and cross to the other side. And though storm and wind and rain and doubt assail us or the company with us, we are looking and discerning his presence with us by his Spirit, hearing his voice speaking to us through his word and in the context of the affirmation of believers. And we are saying, yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. And he's no respecter of persons. And you could say, really, in some way or the other, all of us, we go through some kind of struggle. The thing is, so grateful Jesus is getting in our boat. And the winds sees, the storm sees. He is important. He is the one we worship. And his presence is real. His glory is real. His glory miracles are real.
Thank you, Lord.
And he loves us. He loves us. Put your hand on your heart. And let this revelation penetrate.
Amen, Lord.
Every layer you may have gone through, pain, hurt, persecution, people saying all kinds of negative things.
Jesus.
Let the word of the Lord penetrate that he loves you. As far as he is concerned, there's no one like you, and he is so proud of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say, he loves me.
He loves me. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And in your very situation, You are ruling. He makes you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. He's giving you victory.
Amen, Lord.
Today. He's giving me victory today. Say, He's giving me victory.
He's giving me victory.
This story, as the there are sections of the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, that God has reserved for us, saying, this promise is for you, this promise is for you, this promise. And by faith, we are going to apprehend these promises. They are for now. I'll tell you, more than ever, Lord, we release your powers, your angels, to give healing.
Thank you, Jesus.
And deliverance.
Thank you, Lord.
To us in the Carolinas, to us.
Amen.
In America. All 50 states. And across.
Thank you, Lord.
All the nations, from Nigeria to Brazil.
Thank you, Lord.
To Italy, to Mexico. Your eyes are on us, Lord. To show yourself strong.
Yes.
On our behalf.
Yes.
And we give you thanks, yes. Lord. The boat is symbolic of the natural. But Jesus coming in, He is the supernatural.
Thank you, Lord.
And He wants to give you the supernatural answer.
Amen. And it says there that when He got in the boat, they said, Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It sounds like us. They're in these moments, and you go, yeah, Jesus is Lord. He just suddenly broke through and showed up. Jesus is Lord. But it says, then the storm ceased. They crossed over and landed in Gennesaret, and the people living there quickly recognized who He was. And they sent word throughout the region that Jesus had arrived. So they brought Him all their sick, begging Him to touch them or let them touch the fringe of His robe, just the hem of His garment. And everyone who touched it were instantly and perfectly made whole. Amen. So see yourself in the middle of these events. Terrible, difficult, political, socioeconomic, immediately, personally, in the midst of the dynamic of a raging storm, but under the command and commission of Jesus. And He is appearing in the storm and speaking to your heart and mind and begging us, calling us to come and follow Him even more closely, even against impossible natural odds. And as we step out, there undoubtedly will come a moment where the storm seems more than the call, than the commission to come and join Him, to follow Him. But be assured that as you persevere in faith, He's reaching out His hand to lift us up every time. And He's doing that today. And the end of our testimony, His intention is that He might be revealed as Lord of all, and that those who see Him might be healed.
Amen. I wish I had an invitation when Jesus catered the lunch. One of the best lunches ever. Fish and bread. Oh, unleavened bread.
You're not convincing me, because I know how you feel about fish. I'm just saying.
But this was Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, fish again.
You can't beat that. Yes.
Sorry.
Amen.
Amen. So say immediately.
Immediately.
Come. Immediately. And everyone that touched the hem of His garment was instantly healed. That's your commission. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and this is the season where, in the right way, you don't want to get in the flesh, but if you're going to get mad, it's time to get mad at the devil and say, you thief, you robber, you destroyer, take your hands off the people.
Yeah.
You're not going to bully them anymore.
Yeah.
Whether it's the virus or whether it's any infirmity, this is the hour where God is sending out his angelic hordes. They're going to give us the victory. The enemy is defeated. Jesus is Lord. Walk in that mantle.
Yeah.
I believe there's an impartation for all of us to manifest the glory of the Lord and the Lordship of Jesus Christ right in your situation. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we worship you. Raise your hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
I do want to say again, we would love to lay hands and impart to everybody, but there are some, for this season, some restrictions. We want to respect those. But we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not lack for anything. He is supplying. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that each of us, you are strengthening us, making us strong in the faith, healing us, giving us authority to take authority over wolves, over the thief, the robber, and the destroyer. We thank you, Lord. We declare your headship, Lord Jesus. Welcome your presence in our homes, when we drive, when we gather together, worship. You are there. We honor you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give him a big clap offering, will you? We worship you, Lord. Declare you King of glory in Jesus' name. Be filled again and refreshed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.